A recent study published in Science shows 90 species of amphibians have gone extinct and 500 or more populations have been drastically reduced worldwide due to the infectious chytrid fungus. Isabel Starr reports.
Ecologists are sounding the alarm as a recent study shows 90 species of amphibians have been wiped out from a deadly frog fungus, while potential treatments still elude researchers. Dr. Benjamin Scheel from Australian National University and a researcher from the study says that chytrid fungus interacts with frog skin and can cause heart attacks, leading to death.
Chytrid fungus, somewhat uniquely, is a pathogen that causes mass mortality in amphibians, and it's different to what we normally think about when we talk about pathogens. We're normally thinking about viruses or bacteria that make humans sick. But uniquely, this is a fungus, and what it actually does is, in essence, eat frog skin while they're alive. And so frogs have a protein called keratin within their skin, and this fungus eats that keratin. Once the skin has been compromised by infection with chytrid fungus, infected frogs will experience mortality through cardiac arrest and heart attack. Chytrid fungus is believed to have been spread out of East Asia in the second half of the 20th century, and the most likely mechanisms for spread are unintentional movement of amphibians in cargo, so as stowaways, and also through medical use in frogs and then the transmission of different individuals across continents, as well as through the pet trade. So our research that was just published showed that chytrid fungus has caused the decline of over 500 species of amphibians globally, and of those 500 species, we believe that, or have confirmed that 90 of those species are extinct. Most severe impacts have been in eastern Australia as well as in Central and South America. Chytrid fungus is invisible to the naked eye, and so unless a frog is very severely sick and almost about to die, it's not actually possible to tell from holding a frog or from visually looking at a frog whether or not it's infected with chytrid fungus. And so there's very little people can do. One thing that people can do is to have some hygiene and biosecurity, so to prevent the spread of chytrid fungus within the landscape. So don't move frogs across the landscape from different ponds to other ponds, and also don't handle frogs where you don't have to.
Professor Michael Marney from the University of Newcastle's School of Environmental and Life Sciences says the decline of frogs can have many flow-on effects for other species in the ecosystem.
Frogs are known to eat insects, that's their main diet. And in fact, in some places where it's been measured, we know that frogs actually eat tens of thousands of insects. So they are very important controllers of mosquitoes and lots of other insects. So if we imagine wiping out frogs and their tadpoles from streams, then we break the food chain. And there'll be other animals that rely on those tadpoles for their existence, birds, kingfishers, fish in the water, crayfish. If you wipe out a group of organisms, then you affect the food chain and the whole ecosystem changes.
Dr. Scheel has first-hand experience with the local extinction of frog populations.
Over the past 10 years, as I've been working as an ecologist, I've witnessed the local extinction of populations, and so it's a really dramatic and tragic event. You will go back and be repeatedly surveying a site and there will be healthy frog populations in high abundance. And then you will return the next year and there simply are no frogs there. It's a silent, eerie landscape where the frogs have been lost due to chytrid fungus.
Professor Marney says quarantine and captivity are the only options biologists have to protect frog species from the disease, and more research of frog genomes is needed to understand how the disease works.
Our current response to this problem in Australia and worldwide is when a frog gets down to the last several hundred, we take it from the wild and bring it into a zoo where we can keep it under quarantine and keep the disease out with very careful processes. And so, for example, in Australia at present, the corroboree frog, that beautiful little yellow and black frog that historically was found across the Snowy Mountain 30 and 40 years ago. Now, as far as we know, it's down to the last 20 or 30 individuals in the wild, and there are more of that frog now in Taronga Zoo, Melbourne Zoo, and we've got four or five species of frog in Australia that are currently like that. So the long term for frogs like the corroboree frogs is to see if we can develop and understand the genetics of resistance to this disease and then be able to, for example, return the corroboree frog to its former habitat. This is a really difficult job because trying to understand the genetics of disease resistance requires highly dedicated research laboratories, and there are none in Australia.
Professor Michael Marney from Newcastle University, ending that story by Isabel Starr.